an honor to be here to speak to you. I guess 5 days before I go back to school, I'm going to leave this Friday morning, and we're going to go back up and see what the Lord has in store. At the end of last semester, it's been an interesting summer. We heard at the end of last semester, maybe a couple weeks before we were to go home, that the Florida Cactus, where, you know, of course, Jimmy and I have worked for the past many summers, and we got a call that they couldn't take us this summer because with the economy and sales have been really low. So we're kind of like, oh, great, you know, where are we going to work? There's our job security for the summer right there. So we went job hunting, Jimmy and I, with my dad. And the first place we stopped at was Herman Engelman Greenhouses, and we went to a few more places after that. But we got a call from the manager that said that they would take us, that they needed some help. And we've really seen the Lord work, Jimmy and I, as far as just His timing, His placing us, as we've had many opportunities. We've made friends, as we have Kirill and Max here, good friends that we work with, and we've met Vivian and Ilga. Through them, and we've had many opportunities to share with our coworkers about the Lord. We've had many opportunities to show people the way to heaven, and many opportunities to share of the hope that is within us, and to be ready to give to every man the answer according to the hope that is within us. And today I'd like to give you a message called The Hidden Soils of the Heart. The Hidden Soils of the Heart. People pass us by every day. We rub shoulders every day with coworkers and friends and neighbors and associates that are in need of something more than what they have. You see, what they have, where they're at, many times people are lacking. They need something. They're looking for answers of some. There has to be something more than going day by day by day and doing the same things every day. There has to be more than that. And we have the hope. Jesus told us in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, to go ye into all the world and teach the gospel. We're to go and to share of that hope that is within us. But many times when we share that truth, that hope that is within us, it's easy to become discouraged because we don't see maybe the results that we would like to see. We don't see the outcome that and decisions that we would like. And Jesus, He knowing this, the great teacher Jesus, who spoke with authority, that everyone was amazed that this man spoke like he actually knew what he was talking about, and that he had a message to deliver. He had something to say to an audience of many people one day about 2,000 years ago. And I'd like to read you that and to share this message with each and every one of you. You see, in order to be an effective witness for Christ, we must understand the four types of soils in this parable, which represents the four types of heart that each person on the face of this earth represents. And in this message, I would like each of us to examine our hearts to see where we lie in these four different types of soil. So let's start reading. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. The book of Matthew in chapter 13. Here we see in the previous chapter, in Matthew 12, it says here that Jesus was preaching and He was sharing the Word. He had a busy day this day that He gave this lesson. The same day Jesus healed a blind man. In chapter 12, verses 9 through 13, He cast out a demon out of a man that was blind and dumb in verse 22. And then the Pharisees rejected Jesus' work and said that His work was of the devil. And Jesus Christ tells the Pharisees that many sins are forgiven that you do against Me, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, no man can forgive. God cannot forgive that. And in verse 1, if you read, it says, the same day that this happened in chapter 12, it says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside.
And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, in hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, Lord, and may it go out, Father, as today, Lord, through your Spirit, I spread the seed, Lord, of your gospel message. I pray that we would all hear, that we would all take what you have for each and every one of us, and that we would apply it to our hearts and decide today of our relationship with you, number one, and number two, of our standing as Christians, as those of us who have taken of your gift of salvation and where we stand with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today in this book, I'd like to give you here three aspects of the parable that Jesus gave these many followers. Three aspects. But before we look at that, if you look at verse 1, it says, The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. We see here this day, Jesus came out of the house because there were so many people that were gathered together, and he got into a boat. And it says that great multitudes were gathered together. In Luke, in the account of Luke, in Luke chapter 8, it says that people from every city had gathered together to listen to Jesus' teaching. And here Jesus gives them a story about people's hearts and their response to the gospel of his message. And what an opportune time, because each of these four soils that Jesus is going to describe were in this congregation that he was talking to. And we see it says in verse 3, And he spake many things unto them in parables. And the parable starts here. First of all, I'd like to look at the parable number one, the parable expounded. The parable expounded. Here Jesus begins to tell the people, the multitude, this parable. And he says, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. We first of all here see in verse 3, the sower. We see Jesus first of all describes the sower. We see the sower here is one who goes out as a farmer would with seeds like they used to do, and he would spread out the seeds into the open soil, the soil that has been tilled, so that the soil would be rich and it would be accessible to the seeds to root and to germinate in that soil. And the sower would go out and spread these seeds. And we see here that the sower here represents anyone who carries the gospel message of salvation. Each and every one of us, when we came to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, it was a personal decision that we each had to take for ourselves. And there was one person, at least one person. Many times it takes many people to instill that seed and to water it and to till it and to pull out a few weeds before we actually come to the gospel message. But that person that shared Christ with you, or those people, were sowers, sowing the seed of the gospel in your heart. And if you look quickly here in John chapter 4, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 4. In John 4, I'm going to go ahead and read. In verse 35, it says, Jesus is saying this to his disciples. He says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." So here we see Jesus commands not only the disciples, but each of us, as in verse 4 it says, and in verse 3b it says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." He commands each and every one of us to go forth and to sow, for the fields are white unto harvest. And it's interesting that the Bible says one soweth and another reapeth, but they both receive reward. You see, Jesus counts the sower and the reaper, the person that leads one to Christ, he counts them both in equal positions because they have both worked on a soul to bring them to Christ. And we see, first of all, the sower, anyone who carries the gospel message. And we secondly see the seed. And the seed here, it says, "He went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them up." And the text goes on to describe the other three soils. And we see here in Luke, Jesus specifically says in the parable, he says, the seed is the Word of God. The seed's the Word of God. So we as sowers have the seeds, the Word of God, and it is our job to distribute those seeds to the soil. And you know, in Isaiah 55:11, Jesus promises that His Word will not return void. Isaiah writes, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God promises that when we sow, when we send forth the seed, His Word will not return void. You see, the seed fell in all types of different soil. And the sower had no control over where that seed fell. It was his aim to throw it onto the good, healthy ground. But some, as we'll read, fell on hard ground, some fell on thorny ground, and some fell on ground that was just a few inches thick with soil. The sower had no way of knowing where he would sow. And many times we get discouraged because we expect that seed to fall on the healthy ground. We expect results, but sometimes that seed falls in places that we might get discouraged and think that all is lost. But yet we have the promise that Jesus promises that His Word will not return void. And as we sow, He promises to reward. And we thirdly see not only the sower in the soil, but we see not only the sower and the seed, but we see the soil. In verse 4 it says, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. So the first type of soil that we have is the soil that is by the wayside. I like to call this the hardened soil. The hardened soil, you see the wayside here is basically described. The wayside means kind of like a path or a roadway. In fact, the Greek word hados literally means, that is used here for wayside, literally means a way, a road, or a highway. And the sower no doubt was sowing, and along the edges of the field more than likely, there was probably in the farming land of the day, there was land where people would walk, and land that would get treaded down and the soil would become compact and hard, just like a path that we have today. And the soil, first of all, fell in those edges of the way, those edges of the road. And we see here, because that soil was so hard, the seeds fell and they just lay there. They could not penetrate the soil because of the hardened soil. And we see it says the fowls came and devoured them up. So the fowls came and they ate up the seed, and the seed had no way of planting into that soil to germinate in the spring forth. But secondly, we see that the soil not only, that the seed not only fell on hardened soil, but it fell on heartless soil. We see it says some fell in verse 5 upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. So we see here, secondly, that the sower, in his quest to sow into hopefully healthy ground, the seed, first of all, fell on hardened roadways, hardened paths that people would tread upon, but now it fell on thorny ground. And we see here that this thorny ground, it says, that they fell on, stony places that had not much earth. Now this saying, not much earth, meant that the soil, there was a thin layer of soil on top, but under was a bed of rock or of limestone. And this was very shallow soil on top of limestone. And this soil, it says, the seed would go into the soil and it would, as we read here, forthwith or quickly, immediately, it would spring up. But because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. So we see, secondly, here with this stony ground, with this stony soil, the heartless soil, which we'll see when Jesus explains what this soil meant, why I call it the heartless soil, it immediately springs up, but because it couldn't get any roots down further than that rock, it sprung up and it had no moisture in the soil. It could get no water from its roots because it didn't have any. And immediately it was scorched and it withered away. And we see the third soil here in verse 7. It says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. We see thirdly here, I call the harboring soil. The harboring soil. This soil, though it looked good on the outside, it looked like healthy soil. There was no hardness of earth. There was no trodden soil. There were no stones, there was no sin, but it looked deep, and it was deep, but it was harboring thorns or thorn plants that were soon to spring up and choke those plants that were good. And those plants would spring up, but with the thorns springing up with them, it would choke. And last of all, we see the healthy soil. It says, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. So we see, fourthly, we see the healthy soil. And this soil was cultivated, it had depth to it, and it was healthy. And we see that the seed was thrown onto this soil, and it grew up, and not only did it grow, but it brought forth fruit. And in differing measures, did the differing plants, the differing seeds bring forth fruit. It says some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. So we see here the four soils: the hardened soil, the heartless soil, the harboring soil, and the healthy soil. And Jesus gives this and preaches this to the people. And now we see here in verse 9, Jesus says, "Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear." Jesus commands the people, and if you notice, whenever Jesus makes this comment, "Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear," He is always preaching a message where change must be made, where a decision must be come to. In Revelation, to all seven churches, He says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." And we know that all seven churches but one were commanded to change something that they were doing, or something, as in the case of Ephesus, that they were lacking in their love for God. And Jesus says to the crowd, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." They were to change their ways. It was a call to respond. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And Jesus is preaching to these people who had rejected Him so many times before, and He says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." I wonder how many there are here who have heard the message of salvation over and over again, but you keep rejecting it, and you keep wandering away, or as Christians, those who the Lord speaks to your heart to change something, to change an area of your way, and you keep ignoring it. Jesus says to each and every one of us today, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." And we see that this was the bulk of His parable. So number one, we see the parable expounded. But secondly, we see the parable encountered. The parable encountered. And this encountering of the parable was from His disciples. Look at verse 10, it says, "And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" You see, up to this point, Jesus had only used parables as a means of illustrating truth that He had already told them. Jesus taught them in plain truth, and then He would help illustrate it with a parable, like what we do today. But from this point on, after the Jews had continuously rejected His message that He was the Father, that He was one with the Father, that the Father sent Him, and He preached the words that the Father gave Him, He gave that message, and they rejected that. The Pharisees in chapter 12 had just said, committed the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And from this point on, Jesus would teach in parables, or in hidden truths. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And here, this story has a heavenly meaning. And the disciples asked, "Why are you speaking in parables?" Not only did they have trouble understanding what this story meant, but they knew that these people who didn't follow Him would certainly have trouble understanding such a truth as what He was trying to get across, which they weren't even sure what that truth was. And they were probably thinking in their minds, "Well, Jesus, why are you speaking unto them in a parable? They're rejecting your message as it is, and now you're speaking to them nonsense of what does soil have to do with heavenly things, or with your message? What is the connection here?" And we see that Jesus says, "He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." We see in verse 10 the disciples' confusion, and that they didn't know why Jesus was giving a parable. But now we see the disciples' confidence. And that disciples' confidence is in Jesus' words, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." The word "given" here actually is in the perfect tense, which has to do with an action that has occurred in the past that has continuing results into the present. And Jesus, God, had appointed these disciples to carry on the truth in Jesus' earthly ministry when He was ascended to the Father, to continue that ministry and to have the Holy Spirit and to preach and win thousands and millions to the Lord. and to have that continuing ministry to even today. And it was given them to understand, but also they believed that message of salvation for themselves. Jesus said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter says that you're the Christ. The disciples believed, and it was given unto them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven here has to do with the idea and the fact that the kingdom of Christ was not going to set up a kingdom that the Jews expected here on earth at this particular time, but the kingdom was going to be delayed. And this mystery was the response of the gospel during this time of now until He would return and set up that true kingdom that He was going to set up. And it was given to the disciples to know that mystery. And we see that before the Holy Spirit came, even in Acts 1, the disciples said, "Lord, will now you restore the kingdom?" They didn't understand this fact. But when the Holy Spirit came and indwelt them, they were given the knowledge here. And we see, but to them it is not given. And why wasn't it given to the rest of these people, that these unbelievers? Why was this mystery, the fact, not given to them? Well, in verse 12, we see it says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." We see here that Jesus gives the reason of why it would not be given to these people. You see, whosoever hath, more shall be given. Jesus gives a similar saying in his parable of the pounds. He says, when he gives the parable that the fearful steward hid away and buried, when he gives it to the steward that had gained 10 talents, he says, "Whosoever hath, to more shall be given." And this is the case here. You see, the disciples accepted the light that had been given to them. And those who believed accepted that light that had been given to them. And because that light was given and they accepted it, more light and more truth would be given to them. But to those who rejected Christ's teaching and who rejected that Jesus was the Messiah and that He would die for the sins of the world, it says, "But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." And these people would have taken away even that truth that they had. These people that rejected Christ would continue in their ignorance, would continue in their sinful ways, in their rejection of Christ, because they had not accepted the light that Christ had given. And you know, faith always precedes understanding. Faith always precedes understanding. That's true when you come to Christ, and it's true after you come to Christ. Many times, we may not understand everything about what God is trying to do. Many times, people that struggle with getting saved, they struggle and say, "Well, I just don't understand. Why would just the death of Jesus and His resurrection cover my sin so that I could go to heaven? It can't be that easy." But you know, there comes a time where we have to just take what is written in this book and we have to believe it because of who said it, and that is God. Amen. And we have to take what He said and say, "Lord, I don't understand it. I don't understand why You love me, why You sent Your Son to die for me. But I know that Your Word says, herein is love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation," which means the substitute, the sacrifice for our sins. And when we come to accept that and we put our faith in Christ, we'll be amazed at how this whole sky seems to open up to us, so to speak, and that we understand more and more biblical truth because we're responding to the light that Jesus has given to us. And the first step is salvation. And the step after that is the daily obedience to what Christ has given. But these people who rejected didn't have that. And Jesus says, "But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, In hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Notice that word, their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Jesus here says that He speaks to them in parables because they see physically, yet they don't see spiritually. They hear the words that Jesus is saying, yet they don't hear spiritually. They reject, they choose to believe what they want to believe. And because of that, it says they have closed their eyes, they are dull of hearing. And it says, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. You know, there comes a point in time when we continually reject the message of salvation that the Lord says, hey, you know, that's enough. You're not responding to the truth that I give you. I'm bringing people across your paths that are telling you about how to go to heaven in my way, and you're not responding, and the Lord blinds and leaves them with their eyes dull of seeing, their ears waxed, they can't hear. And the Lord leaves them in that condition because they don't accept these things. In Luke 10, verses 12 through 16, we see Jesus as He mourns and says, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen gathers and would embrace these people, but they rejected and rejected and rejected. And Jesus says, woe to these people because they reject, because they don't decide to come to Jesus Christ. They don't accept His message. And we see here that Jesus says, but blessed, in verse 16, He says to His disciples, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Here we see Jesus says, but blessed are your eyes and your ears, for they hear and they see. Blessed are these disciples. This word blessed comes from makaros, which means blessed or fortunate or happy. And it usually applies in the sense of being a privileged recipient of divine favor. You know, when you respond to the gospel message, you're that recipient of divine favor. The Lord's shown His love to us. The Bible says that the Lord has called us, that we are His. Jesus said to His disciples, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And these disciples were chosen, and we are participants of that divine favor. We are blessed because we have accepted the message of salvation. We have come to the truth of Christ. We are blessed. And it says in verse 17 that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. We think of Isaiah, who prophesied many times of Christ, the coming Messiah. In Isaiah 53, he describes the death that the Messiah would experience. In Jeremiah, God tells Jeremiah that before he came from the womb, I knew thee. And He gave Jeremiah a message to proclaim, and how these prophets looked for the coming day when the Messiah would come and establish Himself in His kingdom, and they would see the completed work of Christ. And these disciples had the opportunity to experience these things firsthand. But you know what's interesting? If you turn in your Bibles quickly to 2 Peter, 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, in verses 19 through 21, here Peter, he writes this passage through the inspiration of God, the Holy Ghost, and he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And what I want to point out here is Peter, who went through, as he describes here, the transfiguration. He saw the transfiguration with his own eyes. But he says, we have an even more sure word than these experiences that we experience in person and in the flesh with Christ. And that more sure word is the Word of God right here. And he says, "Ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." The day star, Jesus Christ. We do well that we take heed. And it says, the Bible is a light that shineth in a dark place. I think of Psalm 119, 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And it's interesting to notice in John, please don't turn there, I'll quickly turn there. In John chapter 3, we see the plight of the unsaved. We see the rejection and the sadness of what is experienced here. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." You see, the Bible, Peter just said in 2 Peter 1, that the Bible is a light in a dark way. We read, David wrote in Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet." And here we see that the reason that people do not embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are many excuses people come up with. Oh, the Bible's full of errors. It's full of contradictions. It's not true. How can it be true? Prove it that it's true. The real reason that people don't come to Christ is because their deeds are evil and they don't want to come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. And you see, the Bible is a light. And we see in Matthew 13 that the prophets desire to see these things, but we even have a more sure word of prophecy in His book, the Bible. And thirdly, I'd like to show you, not only do we see the parable expounded, Jesus teaching it, in the parable encountered, the disciples coming up and asking Jesus about this parable, but lastly, we see the parable explained. The parable explained. And this is in verses 18 through 23. And here we see what these four soils mean that Jesus talked about. Remember, we have, first of all, we have the hardened soil, the soil that's by the wayside that was trampled down and couldn't penetrate the ground. Then we have the heartless soil, that soil that was shallow and that couldn't reach because there was that strata of lime rock, of bedrock, that was hindering the roots from coming down. Then we have the harboring soil, that there were seeds of thorns in those soils, thorn plants, that choked the good plants. And then we have the healthy soil. Well, let's see. Jesus now explains to the disciples what these soils mean that Jesus was preaching about. And first of all, we see in verse 19 that Jesus talks about the hardened soil. And it says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." So Jesus, first of all, describes the type of heart that an individual has who possesses soil, so to speak, a heart that is as of a wayside of soil, that is hardened. They hear the word, and because the seed is thrown into their soil, into their heart, their eyes and their ears, as Jesus just talked about, because their heart is so hardened, the seed of the gospel cannot penetrate into that heart. And the devil and his demons, which are representative of the birds that come, it says they catch away that which was sown in his heart. And they take the seed, which can't penetrate the heart, and they take it away, and they devour it, and it's gone, and they're left the same way they were before the seed had ever come into their heart. We see in Psalm 14:1, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know of a fool? The fool says that God doesn't exist, that there is no God. The hardened soil is representative of one who has hardened himself so much that he rejects the Bible, he rejects the message of salvation, and he rejects what the Bible teaches, so that his heart is hardened, and the seed of the gospel cannot penetrate into his heart because of disbelief. In John 8:44, Jesus calls the devil a murderer and the father of lies. And that murderer, a murderer spiritually, because he wants to take as many souls with him into hell as he can. And this murderer takes these seeds that are planted, the seeds of the gospel, and because they cannot penetrate the soil, the seeds are eaten away by the disciple, by the birds. They're snatched away. They're eaten up. They're devoured. And that is the hardened soil, the heart that is hardened, the wayside. And in verse 20, he now describes the soil that was in stony places, or what I call the heartless soil. And it says in verses 20 and 21, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. I'd like to stop here. It says, that seed that's land on the stony soil, the soil that's very thin and that has a layer of rock under it, that seed which goes and is cast into the soil, it springs up very quickly. And from the beginning, it looks like that this soil is good soil, and that these plants are going to grow to be healthy plants and bear fruit and reproduce themselves. And everything looks good because it says, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, which means immediately, with joy receiveth it. And it says it springs up in verse 5, it says, forthwith they spring up. But we see what happens. In verse 21, this is what happens with that plant that looks healthy and has sprung up immediately. It says, yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. You see what happens here? This soil with that is stony, that is so thin, and it's not very deep, because those roots don't have time to develop, because this type of person, receives the gospel message of salvation very quickly, and he receives it very quickly, and due to whether it's emotion or whether it's to get himself out of trouble or whatever reason it is, he is very quick to make a profession of faith and to say he believes in Christ and that he believes in the Bible. And he seems to be growing and he seems to be rising to the top, but he endureth only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And this plant, because the sun, which the Bible talks about in verse 6, the sun, it says, the sun comes up and scorches this ground, and it has no root, and it withers away. Because there is not a true commitment to Jesus Christ and His Word, when trial and tribulation come, this plant withers away and dries out, because It has no moisture in it, and it has no true moisture and root. And we see with this, we see here that the Bible says, in 1 Timothy it says, they that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You see, true Christianity is a commitment. It's not a decision that you make just out of the top of your head. Yeah, God, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. Lord, I accept your gift of salvation. And it's right here, but it's not right here. No, you have to accept it with your heart. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And when we are soul winning, we need to be sure to get that across to people, that this is not just a decision you make just for no reason, but you truly have to believe it and have to accept it. And many times the only way to see that is to disciple those people who make professions of faith, and to disciple them in the way to get those roots. And when tribulation and persecution cometh, many times that's the only way to know those who are truly committed to Christ. Because in John 6, in verse 60 and 66, he's preaching, and he's giving this hard sermon about you have to eat the bread of my body and drink my blood. And the people are like, what is he talking about? And the Bible says in John 6:66 that many disciples left him that day. Many ceased to follow him because once a controversy came up that, well, this is getting too deep for me. I don't quite understand this. What is he talking about? They were offended because of Jesus' saying, and they left. Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended of me. And you know, many times it's easy to become offended of Jesus, even as Christians. It's many times easy to become offended. And not that we lose our salvation, because once we're saved, we're always saved. But it's many times easy to backslide. It's many times easy to fall away from that truth of that God loves us and God cares for us and He's there for us. And we see here with the heartless soil, the reason they were heartless, because they had no firm roots in the gospel and in their love and dedication to Christ, and they fell away. And we see thirdly in verse 22, the harboring soil. It says, he also that received the seed among the thorns. Here we have the message of the soil which had thorns in it. Is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Here we see thirdly another type of soil. Of a heart that hears the gospel message, and it seemingly takes it in, and the seed germinates, and the seed begins to come up, but then that those seeds that are embedded in the soil that are not seen to the sower, who can't see these hidden seeds of thorns, they come up and they choke the good plant. And anyone that works with plants or is a farmer knows that the soil has to be free from weeds. It has to be free from thorns that would hinder the plant from properly growing and from coming up. And we see that these thorns are representative of two things: the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And these two things choke the word, and they become unfruitful. They become unfruitful because they were never saved, because they had no fruit. They could produce no fruit because it was never a genuine decision to come to Christ. The Bible says here that the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. You know, it's no wonder that Paul said that the love of money is the root of all evil. You see, many people today are out searching for wealth. They're out searching for what will make them rich, for what will seemingly try to make them happy, and they're willing to forsake everything to receive what they believe will make them happy. But you know what? Riches will never make you happy. Riches will only make you happy for a few minutes, for a few years, for a few for a few hours, and then the pleasure is gone, and the money is gone, and you have to go to something bigger and bigger and bigger. But you know what? The Bible says that with God, when our eyes are on God, we have the peace that passes all understanding. And that peace comes through Jesus and through His gift of salvation. We see here that this soil becomes unfruitful. But last of all, we see the healthy soil. The healthy soil. It says, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We see now the good soil, the healthy soil here. And this healthy soil, the seed of the gospel is planted, it germinates, it grows, and because it is healthy and there are no distractions and it is a pure soil, the seed grows, becomes a plant. It grows, it bears forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30. We see here with these differing equivalents, we see here the differing equivalents in fruitfulness that different believers have. The Bible says that we each, according to our faithfulness, bear various amounts of fruit. And we're rewarded according to these things. And we see here that those who receive seed on the good ground is he that heareth the word. And the book of Luke, if you'll quickly turn to the book of Luke here with this soil. Luke chapter 8. It's the same parable, just another book. And here it explains a little bit fuller. It explains a little bit fuller here. Excuse me. Luke 8 chapter verse 15 of this good ground. It says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." We see here that the soil, the heart of a good soil, the heart of a healthy soil is that heart which receives the word in honesty and realizes that he is a sinner, that there's no other way to God but through Jesus Christ, his Son, and who receives his word. As Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And the person who of a good and honest heart receives the seed of the gospel, and he hears the word, and he keeps it, and brings forth fruit with patience, is that soil that is truly used of Christ, and comes and runs that Christian life, and fruit is seen in his life. May I ask you, what type of soil are you today? Are you the hardened soil that have rejected Christ's message of salvation over and over again? Are you the hardened soil believer that is hardened to the things of the Lord? Once you sought to read God's Word, once you sought the things of the Lord, but now you've turned from that? Are you a heartless soil? You have no roots. You have no root within you. You are basically a hypocrite. You're going through the motions only, and you're not going through that relationship with Jesus Christ. Or are you a harboring soil? Oh, we may not be able to see on the outside those things that we harbor, but many of us harbor doubt. According to the gospel message, many people try to fake the Christian life, which this soil appeared to be good soil, but inside was embedded thorns, and inside was embedded things that would choke out the plant. Are we harboring those things? As a Christian, are you harboring pockets of rebellion and sin that need to be made right? Or are you the healthy soil that receives the word with an honest heart, and you look at yourself like we heard today in the mirror, and we're not only a hearer of the word, but we're a doer also, and we change what we see, and with patience we run the Christian life, and with patience the Bible tells us we're made conformable to the image of Christ. And as we witness, let us remember these four different types of soil and how they apply to our lives, and how we can each be an effective witness for Christ. In closing, turn to Psalm 126, if you will. Psalm 126, may we each remember this verse as we go out into our workplace or into our neighborhood or our fields of wherever we go. May we remember, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. May we go forth, oh, it may be hard, weeping, but yet we bear forth that precious seed, which is the gospel of Christ. And may we remember these truths today. And if there's any that have not accepted that message of salvation, may we be the good soil today and come and realize that Christ died for us and He rose again from the dead. And the only thing we must do is to ask the Lord to save us of our sins and to come into our life, that we may have fellowship with Him and may have eternal life. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You, Lord, for Your love that You've shown to each and every one of us. Lord, I thank You for Your goodness, for Your patience, and I thank You, Lord, for this message on the soils. Lord, as we each represent a heart, whether it's hardened or whether it is shallow or whether it's harboring sin and thorny sins in our lives, Lord, or whether we're the healthy soil, may we each be honest with ourselves and come and make